Hey, Chad, do you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh,
I got it. Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what did you think of The Muppet Movie?
Have you ever had a movie that you can see all of the things that are really great about it?
Yes.
But the experience you have watching it is less than you'd like?
Oh, yeah.
So, disclosure, we were watching it with our children in the room, and somehow the movie loses something in that.
Watching a kid's movie with kids, not advised.
For the first time.
Okay,
I'm going to put it for the first time.
Fair enough.
Because I don't know how many jokes or scenes are in things that I missed because I had somebody on my lap flipping all over the place and moving and getting up every 17 seconds and blocking my view.
Yeah.
And so it's like I'm watching the movie and I'm like, this is really good. And the jokes are what I expect, and the fourth wall breakages are what I expect, and because otherwise the only Muppet movie, big air quotes there, that I saw was the one with Jason Segel.
Yeah, The Muppets.
You know, the Muppet. Otherwise, I've seen Treasure Island, and I've seen the Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm. You know, those kind of things where it's less about the Muppets and more about the human character with Muppets involved.
Yes.
This one being about the Muppets, I don't see that very often.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to like it. And so I was prepped and I was ready. And it's a good movie. And I liked what I saw. And kids just...
So for those of you who haven't picked up on it, we're talking about 1979's The Muppet Movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Muppets' first big feature film.
Between their second and third season, or third and fourth season of the show?
Second and third. So this, you know, they started The Muppet Show, and it was a big success. Mm-hmm. And Sesame Street had already come out, so you'd seen some of them, you know, Muppet-type characters mm-hmm. before. But this is their first big outing on the silver screen. And it basically tells an exaggerated story of how the Muppets met.
Mm-hmm.
And the cinematography in this is great. You've got these wide, sweeping shots of epic landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're
It's a love letter to America, certainly.
It is, yeah. Minus all the political stuff that gets thrown into love letters to America these days. It's just about the country and the land. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so the film starts with this sweeping shot down into a swamp to the sound of the Rainbow Connection. You know, the classic.
One of the most famous Muppet songs.
Yeah. And we meet Kermit, and he finishes the song right about the time Dom DeLuise shows up.
Oh, there's the connection to last month.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago. I got it.
Who's lost?
I get it now.
So Kermit gives him directions, and he says, well, I'm an agent in Hollywood. You should go out there and audition, because there's this thing. A studio is looking for frogs.
Yep.
Okay. So the next thing we know, Kermit's on his bike. He's heading out.
First time we really saw their feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and he runs afoul of this, the subplot of the movie revolves around Kermit running away from Doc Hopper. He is a frog leg restaurateur
mm-hmm.
who wants Kermit to be the spokesperson for his fried frog legs.
Mm-hmm.
I
for
hope
the princely sum of $500
a
year.
I hope the dear listeners can see the conflict in Kermit's heart here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that becomes a recurring thing throughout the movie. Next, he runs into the El Slizo Cafe and meets Fozzie.
Yeah.
They meet up with Gonzo.
Shortly thereafter.
Shortly thereafter. And then Piggy and Raw. And it's just a recurring thing of how each of the Muppet, the main Muppets kind of met each other.
Scooter, the electric, and Dr. Teeth and
Electric
Mayhem.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite scenes in the early part of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
and in the church.
And interspersed throughout this movie are wonderful songs and moments like
I'm nodding
that.
For those who can't see. I'll do it close to the mic.
Yeah, Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem are going to turn this old abandoned church into a coffee house.
Mm-hmm. With locally sourced, you know, organically grown.
Yeah. And, you know, we get a nice another musical number there. And they're all set up very much like a music video in that regard. And it's wonderfully, and this is before MTV.
It is almost like they took a cue from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, where the scenes in between are just there to get you to the next music video.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Which, it works out.
Yeah. You know?
And movies and musicals have been using that format since.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's effectively, well, that's... Oh, now I'm going blank. What was the one with ABBA? You know, Mamma Mia?
Yeah.
That was like Mamma Mia, Across the Universe, although that did some other stuff. But, yeah, it's a series of music videos with a plot pretty loosely thrown in.
Yes. And like you said earlier, the jokes are very much what you would expect from The Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you hit a fork in the road, turn left. Ah, Kermit! And then there's a no-joke fork stuck in the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, humorously large, you know.
It does a really good job of balancing that humor that adults will find amusing and that kids will find funny.
Yes.
With the jokes that the adults will find funny and will fly right over the kid's head.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm lost. Oh, have you tried Hare Krishna?
Yeah.
No kid gets that.
No.
There's some adults I know who don't get that. You know, it's a funny joke, and it happens at least 4 times.
And they reference that. Oh, it's a running gag now.
It's a running gag. Be ready. It's a running gag.
Yeah. So, I mean, long story short, too late. The Muppets get rid of Doc Hopper. They make it to Hollywood. They make their pitch to the studio and get the
Orson Welles.
Yeah, Orson Welles. We'll get to the cameos in a minute. And they are presented with the, quote, standard rich and famous contract. And then they're able to make their movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just a wonderful little thing. The amount of guest stars in this movie is insane.
Oh yeah.
I know
you ready for this list?
Yes, please. You've got
okay.
it up.
Okay. So we've got the main cast of Muppets as it is. And then Charles Durning is Doc Hopper, who I recognized as Pappy O'Dania from the Oh Brother Where Art Thou? He's the mayor there.
Yeah.
But then Edgar Bergen, Milton Berle, Mel Brooks, James Coburn, Dom DeLuise, Elliot Gould, Bob Hope, Madeline Kahn, Carol Kane, Cloris Leachman, Steve Martin, Richard Pryor, Telly Savalas, Orson Welles, Paul Williams, Scott Walker, H.B. Haggerty, and then folks that even I don't recognize.
Yeah.
But that when you see their faces, you will.
Yes.
It's like, wait a minute, didn't I? I see why you picked this.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, well.
Between road movie and the number of cameos.
Yes.
That just show up out of nowhere and you're just like, wait a minute.
Okay, so jumping ahead to The Muppets with Jason Segel. Do you remember that scene where Kermit's flipping through the Rolodex trying to get stars to show back up?
Right.
That is exactly how I envision Jim Henson calling in people for the movie. They'd already done 2 seasons of The Muppet Show.
Oh, yeah.
And from episode 1 had guest stars galore. And so I can just imagine him calling up, maybe even in character as Kermit, you know.
You know, that's just going to be my headcanon from now on, is that Jim Henson is just like, hello, I'm looking for Mr. Steve Martin.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, just,
exactly.
there's a lot of really great stuff in this. And unlike the last movie, not a whole lot of bad.
No.
Really, the stuff here that doesn't fit is the number of slowdowns for the romantic subplot with Miss Piggy and Kermit. Because the first one is funny.
Yes.
The third one isn't. By the time you've stopped the movie,
yeah,
in order to have Frank Oz make love to Jim Henson.
Verbally, not...
Yes, it's still a kid's movie.
It's still a kid's movie, yes. Yeah.
It's just like, oh dear, come on.
Yeah. But that first one is hysterical.
The first one's so funny. The number of movies referenced in the music video,
yes,
alone.
Because for those of you who don't know, Miss Piggy is voiced by a man, Frank Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Kermit is voiced by his best friend, Jim Henson. And so it would be like Chad and I writing love letters to each other.
Not that this hasn't happened.
No. And, we're not making fun of anything like that, but you can almost tell the joy.
That there is a serious admiration.
Yes.
In and amongst the recognition that it's not a romantic relationship.
Yes, it's supposed to be a romantic relationship, but you know it's the actors, it's not, but they really do care for each other.
Yeah. And that's, I think, what keeps it from being actual cringe. as the young people say, hello, young people. Welcome to You Want Me to Watch What?
So, okay.
Check out our other offerings.
I have a funny Jim Henson, Frank Oz story.
I'm listening.
And then I have a funny anecdote about the movie.
All right, I'm
because
listening.
We were talking about the admiration between the two and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the early days of, Sesame Street had been going on for a couple years. The Muppet
Show. Sesame Street had been going on since like 69.
Yeah, okay, so for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
And
another good cameo. Yeah. Big Bird shows up.
Yeah, Big Bird.
I'm going to New York to break into public television. Good luck.
So, Henson and Oz are doing stuff for Saturday Night Live. I don't know if it's with the Muppets or Puppeteer, okay, but they're helping out with some Saturday Night Live stuff. And they've got a break, and Jim calls Frank over and says, hey, come here. And they go into a dressing room, and Jim shuts the door and tells Frank Oz, I want you to take all your clothes off because I need a picture of you. What? Just do it. Okay. Because they're that level of friendship, you know. And so Frank Oz strips down to nothing, covers himself up, and kind of, okay, mm-hmm, now cover yourself up and kind of, hunch your, bend, mm-hmm, bend over a little,
right,
bit, cover yourself and just look surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Snaps the picture. Okay, get dressed. Hurry up. Because, somebody could come in at any moment.
Yep.
And then it was never mentioned again.
Until,
like, the next, Christmas or whatever. Frank Oz gets a gift from Jim Henson, and he opens it up, and it is this beautiful, carving of Bert's head. Now, Jim Henson and Frank Oz were the original voices of Bert and Ernie.
Okay.
With Frank Oz being Bert and Jim being Ernie.
Right.
And so it's this wonderful bust of Bert's head with all these little Berts around it because they had toys and stuff like,
right,
that. And he's looking at it, and it's immaculate. It's marvelous. And then he notices that the eyes have no pupils because, Muppets, it's these white balls with little black dots.
Mm-hmm.
The black dots are missing. And he looks, and inside, when you look through the pupils of Bert's head, is that picture of Frank Oz standing naked, covering himself.
Okay.
And I forget what the piece is called. This is a story that Frank Oz told at Jim Henson's funeral.
Absolutely.
And
rightly so.
So you know it's true. But that's the kind of friendship they had. So when you're listening to Frank Oz as Piggy singing,
mm-hmm,
about being in love with Kermit, it just...
It works.
It works on so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
So the funny story I have about the movie is when the movie starts and we zoom in to the swamp and we see Kermit, he's sitting on a log in a swamp.
Right.
The log is surrounded by water because they do, you know, kind of shots around and whatever. Mm-hmm. Somebody's controlling Kermit.
Right.
So what actually they did, but he's also playing the banjo. Mm-hmm. So Kermit's hands have animatronics in them to do the strumming just up and down and move up the neck of the banjo and down.
Makes sense.
Jim is in the log with some scuba gear on, his hand in Kermit in a rubber glove because electronics surrounded by water so he doesn't get electrocuted while trying to move the mouth.
You really have to trust your own timing.
You do, yes.
For the song, then.
Uh-huh.
That makes that scene so much more impressive.
Yeah.
Like, the Muppets are impressive anyway.
Yeah.
The sheer amount of camera trickery that has to be done in order to make that work as a Muppet.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, I don't think he was completely submerged in water, but he still had to be in the water a little bit.
Well, he's not singing it, you know,
no,
out
he's
loud.
Not, no, it was all pre-recorded in a studio and stuff, moved to playback.
But you're just sitting there, and you'd have to be like, okay, how well can you hear inside the log?
Exactly, yes.
And are they piping a speaker into the log for you to be able to do this?
And that's more electronics surrounded by water.
Yes.
And you know, the special effects in the movie, while minimal, are still good because you get to see full, you know, head-to-toe Fozzie Bear and Kermit dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You know that was blue-screened or whatever back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still okay. It doesn't look horrible.
The giant animal erupting from the
building.
The
giant animal head, you know.
It's like, which is funny because you can tell parts of that were dubbed in later.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a scene toward the end of that where it's like, no, you just made a giant animal head, didn't you?
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
I had the privilege of going to see Avenue Q on
stage.
I'm
jealous.
And there is a nightmare sequence that has one of the Muppets that is stage-sized.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes the whole thing. That's what that reminded me of, is seeing like this gigantic Muppet head just suddenly coming up over the stage.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What? Oh, well, I guess now I know it can be done real.
There you go. Yeah.
No, good movie. Good movie. I look forward to seeing it again.
Good.
You know, it's one of... And based on my child's reaction at the end, I'll probably have to watch it tomorrow. I'm not going to, but I don't watch movies twice in a row unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah.
Gotta be at least 2 days.
Yeah.
But I think based on this, I'd be inclined to watch some of the other Muppet-centric movies then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Great Muppet Caper, I guess, is a Muppet-centric. It's not a live-action person with Muppets around.
No. The first three movies, the Muppet Movie, Great Muppet Caper, and The Muppets Take Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
are very much Muppet-centric.
Mm-hmm.
After that, they started shifting to, okay, we have a story to tell, like, you know, Muppet Treasure Island,
mm-hmm.
that has a human centerpiece with Muppets around it.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Right. Muppet Wizard of Oz is the same way.
Yeah. But those first three movies, and the three movies that had Jim Henson in them as Kermit, are very much Muppet-centric. There are people that they react to.
Right.
But they are the core
of the story.
You know,
Mr. Hopper's in this, but Doc Hopper's in this, but he's not the focus.
No.
Not the same way that Jim Hawkins is the focus of Treasure Island.
Right.
You know, or that, you know, Long John Silver is a focus. So I look forward to seeing that. I want to see, because the Muppets,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was pretty Muppet focused because it was about the brother. You know, Jason Segel's brother.
Yes.
But there was entire subplots where there were no Muppets at all because it was about Jason Segel and Amy Adams' character.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to what they're doing there.
Yes.
Although I'm a little bit hesitant about Muppets Most Wanted because though it's Muppet-centric, I've heard that it's a little bit of a departure.
It is, and that is a different podcast for a different day.
Sure. Because, I mean, we've got a few options for those who are listening.
Yeah. I personally don't recommend it. It is my least favorite Muppet movie that was theatrically released.
Okay.
I'm putting that caveat on there. But as far as Muppet movies go in general,
mm-hmm.
I'm really glad you like this one because I was worried because,
yeah.
And it's like, okay, you've never seen the Muppet movie before, but you've seen Muppet stuff. I don't know how this is going to go.
To be honest, I didn't know either because the Muppets work best for me in short form.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't like them, about 40 minutes, and I'm like, all right, that was a good amount of Muppets.
Yeah.
You know, I was raised on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
And so I've seen Follow That Bird 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
That one gets to be too much after about 45 minutes. You know?
And I will say that there is a distinction between the Sesame Street Muppets and the Muppets.
Yes. Yes. I'm not disputing that.
No. I mean, I'm talking to the listeners here. I'm for my own personal, you know, mm-hmm. view on things. They're all by the Jim Henson Company. They are Muppets, but Muppet adjacent. They're like the Care Bears and the Care Bear cousins.
Yeah.
In my mind.
To me, there are three distinct families of Muppets. Well, there's four, but three main ones.
Okay.
You've got Sesame Street, mm-hmm. you've got the Muppets, and you've got Fraggle Rock.
Yes.
You know, you've got these three distinct...
What's the fourth one?
Oh, Yoda.
Ah, yes.
Who is a Muppet who was voiced by Frank Oz. So, he's a cousin to Miss Piggy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Headcanon?
Yes.
Also accepted.
Yes.
Miss Piggy, thousands of years later, masters the ways of the Force.
Kermit, I love you too.
Okay, I'm not thinking fast
Use
enough.
The Force, Luke. Carry me. Do or do not. There is no try. Size matters. Not.
It's like, how long are you going to leave that pause in there, dude?
Oh, as long as I possibly, until it stops being funny and then is funny again. So, but yeah, that the fourth family is the Muppets that show up in things that don't really have relation to other things.
Yes.
So in this case, Yoda is the easiest one, but I'm pretty sure that there are a few different Muppets, you know, that have shown up in different things that they're one-offs.
Yeah, just the outliers, but still right. have that core you connection. Know,
that were created by the Jim Henson Company.
Yeah.
So there is that. If you've got small kids, and this is going to be their first time watching it, watch it first. Like, if you just haven't, watch it first so that you've got the jokes and you've got the story beats. Mm-hmm. Because even at 92 minutes long, there's going to be at least three interruptions where things get slow or things get sappy. Depending on whether or not you have an active child or a romantic averse child.
Yeah, during the first real, you know, Piggy loves Kermit thing, my son got up and left because he doesn't like the sappy stuff.
Yeah. So it's just, there are things like that. But overall, I mean, it's such a good movie.
I am
it's
glad
to
hear
you say that.
It's a
solid movie. It works. It is one of the very few movies I think we've seen that tries to be all things for all people and mostly succeeds.
Yes.
You know, this is one of those family movies that works in ways that certain family movies, you know, take like a Hotel Transylvania, doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's trying very hard to be a family movie where you've got your middle-aged dads are supposed to, you know, identify with a character and so on. This is one of those where you don't really identify with any of the characters too hard. You identify with the ideas the characters represent. I have a dream. I'm going to go for that dream.
Yeah. It's an abstract concept that everybody identifies with.
Because even, I mean, I say even as though they're somehow dumb. They're not. They're inexperienced. But it's something that the kids understand on a basic level.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, he wants to be rich and famous, or he wants to be an actor. He wants to make people happy.
Yes.
Because that's the key that Dom DeLuise gives at the beginning, is like, you can make thousands of people happy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anybody can latch onto that. I want to make people happy. I want to. So, yeah, it's a good movie. Good choice. Good idea.
I'm so glad you said that.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think it's your turn.
I'll come up with something. Give me a minute.
Okay.